Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Studios for March 20th, 2018. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to preview the Miami Open. Let's introduce our co-host for this week. Parsa, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Not bad, buddy. We got first day of spring on deck here. Miami Open ready to kick off in about 2 hours Eastern Standard Time. Yesterday, complete washout, so the women couldn't get underway. So it's going to be a packed schedule today with men's and women's first round matches. We had Indian Wells conclude on Sunday with a couple of very notable results. We had Bianca Andreescu, young Canadian upstart, taking the biggest title, obviously, of her career. Biggest title of any Canadian ever, really. Over Angie Kerber in three sets, a tremendous result. We'll get to that in a second. And then we also had Dominic Thiem upsetting Roger Federer in three sets, 7-5 in the third, to win his first Masters 1000 title and biggest hardcourt title as well, too. So, you know, that's going to be a little segue into Miami this week, where they got the new Hard Rock Cafe and they got that, which looks pretty good. It looks pretty solid from what I saw. They're calling it the new U.S. Open, so they're coming in with a big title right off the bat. I'm not sure if that's the way you want to go, but that's kind of what they're saying. So we'll see how that transpires, Parsa. So I don't know how much you were able to catch of IW, but for me, I think the women's final was really one of the best matches I've ever seen, just in terms of grit and determination. I mean, Kerber's a bona fide champion. She's won three majors, as we know, and then you have this young Canadian girl, 18-year-old Andreescu coming in, just so much heart and determination, Parts. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. And it's just, when you look at it from a coaching standpoint, you're like, you would want every kid to act this way just because, never giving up. She had nothing left in the tank coming off of a super grueling match with Svitolina in the semis, got through that. She's playing against Kerber, wins the first set, loses the second set comfortably, down big in the third. Her coach comes on court. She's like, I want this so bad. I have to win this match. He's like, okay, take that energy. Use it in the right way. She comes back, breaks again, and wins the match. She goes, my feet are burning, this and that. I mean, I don't even know how she did it. But I really think that, and this is not one of those things, I'm just saying this because, she's also Canadian, but I definitely think she's going to win some majors. She started the year at 152. She's 24 in the world now. Just an incredible... And, we know how women's tennis goes. We saw what Osaka did last year. I think there's no doubt that she's going to be top 10 by the end of the year. Just any thoughts on that before we go forward?
Well, I mean, first off, you compared her to Rafael Nadal, and any comparison of that magnitude, and this was off air, everyone, is something that is, you don't throw around compliments like that lightly. And, we've been waiting... And waiting for emerging stars, and it looks like Osaka is obviously a new bright superstar, and it looks like Andreescu is another one that's on the horizon. And even to Svitolina's credit, I think although has made deep runs before, she's making deep runs, and Kerber looks like she's playing well, and so it's nice that we're getting these sort of mainstays back on the WTA tour, and you got some new fresh blood. You've got the old guard in Serena Williams that's still trying to upset, and Kvitova that are really trying to. You've got good things happening on the WTA tour. In the past, I want to say that you had players that were winning by default because everyone was out of the draw, and here you have Andreescu who stepped up her level.
Yes.
In order to become this bright superstar like Osaka did last year. So I think that's a really, really healthy and positive thing. And it's super exciting, and the matches are great to watch. And that's what it's all about. It's entertainment.
Yeah, and then, you know, Parsa, what we were talking about for everybody out there, we were talking about, you know, the Nadal comparison. I mean, I remember back in 2009 when Nadal won the Australian Open and he beat Verdasco in that legendary match that I'm sure everybody's seen by now in five sets, 5 hours and 14 minutes, where Verdasco double faulted on match point. And then a couple days later, he comes back and he beats Federer again in five sets to win his lone Australian Open. You know, basically, I think that's where he completed his Grand Slam collection as well, too. Very early in his career, it's like 10 years ago now. And it was tremendous to see, just so much grit and determination on a surface that at the time was very hard for him to compete on. Still is, obviously, as we know, we can't really even finish a hardcore tournament at this point. We'll talk about that in a bit. But and I watched Andreescu, and it was just, I don't think I've ever seen somebody fight like that since then. You know what I mean? Because she really had to. Like, she did exactly what she needed to do to win that match. She went to the outer limits of everything that she had to get that W. And I really haven't seen somebody do that in a long time. I mean, we've seen great tennis. We've seen compelling stories. We've seen Osaka, like, you know, beat Serena easily in the U.S. Open and all of this stuff. But I don't think I've seen somebody have to fight like that. You know, and the good thing is she's only 18. So, you know, they asked her, "So you're playing Miami?" And she's like, "Yeah, that was never in any doubt." Because as you know, Parsa, when you're 18, you have a cheeseburger and you're back on the court in 20 minutes, right? So you're good to go. And, you know, she's very strong. She's put in the work. I know a lot of people who know her in the city here. And she's a very, extremely hard worker, very fit, very good tennis body, very strong and muscular. So I think, you know, the future is more than bright for her. And we'll see how she... You know, she gets it going this week in Miami. A couple other storylines before we get into the women's draw. Serena Williams, Parsa, I mean, you know, we had picked her to do some damage in IW, but she didn't. She lost her second match, very, you know, quite comfortably. You know, there's some rumors going around that she might be pregnant. She's this and she's that. I have no idea. There's nothing conclusive. All I'm saying is that, you know, she couldn't breathe. There was maybe a virus that she was going through. So hopefully she's feeling better. As we know, this has been, you know, Miami's been a major stomping ground for her throughout the years. And we'll see how, you know, she bounces back. But other than that, I think it was a great women's draw. I mean, there's so many great matches throughout the tournament. A lot of people were calling it the best Indian Wells draw that they've ever seen. We'll see how that compares this week in the new Hard Rock Stadium. So with that said, Parsa, let's jump right into the draw. We got Osaka still as the number one seed. She comes in, faces a couple qualifiers before potentially Muguruza or the struggling Wozniacki will face off with her in round four. Moving forward from there, she'll have the likes of maybe Kerber around there. We got Andreescu, again, is in this quarter. Does she have enough juice to do something? I don't know. I mean, based on just the vibes, I think she can get through a couple more matches here. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think, you know, can she beat Kerber again here?
Yeah, I mean, I look at actually Kenin as a real thorn too.
Yes, for sure.
And the reason is Kenin will keep a ton of balls in the court. Like, this is not a match that you blow. You could beat Kenin 3-3. It's going to take you 2 hours.
Yeah.
So I think for sure she's going to be out by the time she reaches Kerber. I just think that although young and although can rebound like that, I just don't think her body's going to be used to this sort of abuse, especially if she gets through Begu first round, which I think she will, and then she plays Kenin. I think that'll be, regardless, even if she wins, it's going to be between 2 and 3 hours, and she's going to have to turn around and play a bona fide professional, you know, who's been doing this year after year after year after year after year. And you do build, you know, there's an untold fitness element as a veteran on tour. You can sort of, you understand where to use your energy, and obviously Kerber's got that. So I think that Kerber will be a very tough out, and I think she'll want revenge, and you know, I think Kerber will advance through that. But I do think Andreescu has a good chance to to win a couple matches.
Yeah, yeah. I'm exactly with you on that one, and which will be great. And then she gets ready to hit up the clay. So then moving on from there, I mean, I look at this quarter here. I'm gonna go with Sabalenka to do some damage. I think that she is I still really like what I see from her, even though I think she underperformed in Indian Wells. But I definitely think that she's gonna come through this section. A lot of great players. You got Muguruza, you got Wozniacki, Kontaveit, Kenin, as you said. Andreescu we've talked about in depth, Kerber, Osaka, but for me it's gonna be Sabalenka. What do you have?
What did you think of Osaka? I'm curious.
I think she's doing okay. I mean, like we said, you know what I'm saying? It's like you get to, what else can she do right now? People are asking her, how's it going? Well, I just won the last two Grand Slams and I'm number one in the world, right? So it's like, you're at the absolute top of that mountain, right? And you're looking down. And it's like, you got to wake up every day and you're like, she's got a new coach and all of this stuff. And I don't know. I think she looked okay. And she's, it's every day is a new day, right? You're only as good as your last match. And, she's going to have a lot of work to do to sustain what she has. But she definitely has a lot of points, in the bank right now. So she's going to hold on to one of these top positions for a while.
Who's her new coach, Nira?
I think it's, I don't know his name, but I think he was working with Venus, no? Venus Williams?
Oh, is it David Witt?
It's David Witt or it's Jenkins or something, isn't it? I don't know. I think it's one of those two. But it's she's got a bit of a new team, so there's that transition that, that she's going through. But it's going to be interesting for me to see, like, this is another big tournament, right? And before she gets onto the clay, I'm not really convinced on her clay court game just because she hits such a flat ball. I don't know how much patience she's going to have when she gets over to Europe. I guess Rome or Stuttgart would be, one of her first events before Roland Garros. But, for me, I'm going to go with Sabalenka. I think she's an amazing hard court player, and I think she's going to be ready to do some damage here. How about yourself?
First, it was Jermaine Jenkins. Yeah, he was a hitting partner for Serena Williams. Actually, my family, we watched them practice at the U.S. Open this year.
Yeah.
Jenkins and Williams. So that's an interesting selection. I find that one a little bit bizarre, but okay. And that was important to me because I wanted to know what to expect here, and I think there's going to be some sort of a learning curve. I am going to take Angie Kerber here. I feel like she's going to be the informed person to beat. If she can get to the point where she plays Sabalenka, I think she wins that match. I think that's going to be that round of 16 match. We'll take it from there. But I'm going to have Kerber going through this draw.
Yeah, and it's a great pick. And, it was interesting because I was watching that match with Andreescu, and Kerber is one of those players right now. I think she's going to have a great year because you got to beat her. You know what I mean? Like, you cannot, she's in that mode right now where she's feeling good. It was interesting because I think Andreescu had about 4 match points. And I think on her third one, Parsa, so she hits this drop shot, right? And Kerber comes in and she kind of just guides this forehand down the line. And she turns around and the cameras are on her and she just starts smiling. It's like one of those smiles. It's like, you're going to have to do a lot better to win this tournament. I'm feeling good. You know what I'm saying? I beat Serena Williams in Grand Slam finals. Like, I know what's up. You know what I mean? This is not going to faze me right now. You can maybe win this match, but you're definitely going to have to empty the tank and earn it, right? It was like 31 Celsius, super hot. I don't think the weather is an issue for her. I think she's ready to go. So it's going to be, I think, a great year for her, especially at Wimbledon and the U.S. Open once again. And I think it's a great pick by you because somebody's definitely going to have to take her out if they want to, win this tournament. Moving on to quarter number 2, we have Kvitova, who I don't think is going to flourish too much in these conditions. We have Madison Keys, who's still trying to find her way back. We have Bertens, who's been playing some good ball. But I want to bring the attention to, you know, Ash Barty, Parsa, you know, young Australian girl. I really like what I see from her. I like, you know, she's actually super athletic, very much in the Andreescu mode. You know what I mean? Very stocky and has that good, you know, athletic build for a tennis player that can withstand, you know, the rigors of, you know, week-to-week competition. And I look at her and I look at this draw that she has. You know, there's obviously Garcia and Vekic and, you know, some other good players, Pavlyuchenkova. But I think from what I'm seeing from, this section, I'm going to go with Ash Barty to make the semifinals. How about you?
Very good. You know, let's talk about my disappointing pick in Madison Keys. I really, you know, what's going on with her? Like, what's happening there? I mean, it's kind of...
I think it's a mental thing, man. I don't think she's mentally that strong of a player. I think, again, you have a very good athlete. Like, if you and I were doing, you know, a coaching, we had a camp, right? And then, you know, Madison Keys shows up at 14, you know, and she starts rocking the balls. We're like, wow, you know what I mean? This is going to be a player, right? But as you go forward, and then you have these players like Kerber and, you know, Serena, like all of these mentally tough players around you, you're going to fall through the cracks. We've seen it time and time again. Like, she gets there, she's got this amazing firepower, almost like a Lindsay Davenport who coached her for the longest time. But I don't think she's mentally that strong of a player. I don't think, and it's not because she's not, you know, she's very temperamental. And she's like a brat or anything like that, because she's a super sweet, nice girl. I just don't think she's that mentally strong of a player. Now, can she change that? Absolutely. I'm just saying, up until this point, from what I've seen from her at the highest levels, I don't think she's that mentally strong.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that...
But it's disappointing.
It's not a good thing. I mean, well said, though. I'll tell you that, Nima. Yeah. I have a trouble in this draw in that, you know, I think Ashley Barty is a very good pick. You know, anyone can really come through. I could see someone like Sibylkova all of a sudden, you know, coming, resurrecting, or, you know, I can see not that many, actually, Nima. I'm going to go with Petra Kvitova. And I'm going to go with her just because... I don't know why I'm going to go with her. I really have trouble in this draw. So I'm going to go with the class that I know. And it's either her for me or Pavlyuchenkova. I'm going to go with Kvitova here.
Okay. Kvitova, I think definitely I would like to see her do well just because of her backstory that everybody knows about by this point. I'm not sure how much she's going to flourish in these conditions, though. That's kind of the heat.
Yeah, it's too heavy. That's where my hesitation is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a very heavy condition.
But it always depends, you know. And we haven't played at Miami Open. We've played at Sony Ericsson in Key Biscayne, you know. But who knows how the conditions are going to be, you know. And I know the atmosphere is the same, but what about the court surface, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So we don't know if it's hard, if it's fast, if it's slow, if it's, you know, whatever it is. So,
you know, I'm just looking at Twitter right now as we're doing this stuff, and, you know, it's still raining there, and they're still drying off the court for today, and Federer's on center court right now helping to clean the court. So it's like one of those things, which is kind of cool to see, but nevertheless, I mean, you put Miami with all of that rain and humid, I mean, it's going to be mega humid today. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to just be sweating sitting there. And it's like, that's what I'm talking about. So I think that's where somebody like Barty or even Andreescu, I think that have shown that, you know, their game styles are very conducive to these types of environments. So as we move now to quarter number three, we have Pliskova, who, again, I don't know how much she's going to flourish in these conditions. Bencic, who did make the semis. I think my only lone good pick I had last week was Bencic of all both draws. And, so she's there. We have Mertens. We have Ostapenko, who's been struggling big time lately. I don't think she's even winning any matches. And then we have Sloane Stephens, who I think is celebrating a birthday today and is the defending champion here. So one of the other big titles that she's won in her career to date. 26th birthday. She's 26, Parsa? Wow. I didn't think she
if
was
you
that.
Remember the first part of her career, you know, no one could get her to be consistent.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the second part of her career that she's really stepped it up.
Yeah, no, good for her. I mean, I can't believe she's 26, to be honest. I'm not saying that's old, but I thought she's maybe like 23. But so I don't know. I mean, I think, again, looking at this draw, we have Georgie, who's huge, huge hitter of the ball, you know, swinging for the fences off of everything. Ostapenko, very much similar. You know, Svetasova, Bencic, maybe this my second pick. But I think Sloane is going to bring it. I mean, I think she didn't have that great of Indian Wells, and I think she's going to be ready to go here. And for me, it's going to be Sloane Stephens in the semifinals attempting to defend her title. How about yourself?
That is a great pick, Nima. I
You can go.
Yeah, on. I mean, I think there's going to be good vibes also.
I just think
you know, there's just going to be positive energy and spirit around her, and I think she's going to get those good feelings, albeit, again, a different facilities, you know, and I think that makes a difference. You know, we'll see the feedback as the tournament goes on.
Yes.
If it feels cold, if it feels warm, if it feels, you know, I'm not talking about the literal temperature, but the atmospheric temperature, meaning the vibe, you know, how is the energy? What is it like? Is it too big? Is it, you know, is it not intimate enough? Is it, you know, too claustrophobic? Is it whatever it is? I think we're going to find out a lot. And I think those things do matter when you talk about the best players in the world and there's slight differences between them. I think those things do matter. But that being said, I have to go with what I know. And so I'm with you there. Sloane Stephens, the semis here.
Yeah. I definitely think that's going to happen. And then the fourth and final quarter. Again, I'm going to go with a bit of a wild card one here, even though we have the likes of Svitolina and Serena Williams and Simona Halep. But for me, Parsa, believe it or not, I'm going with Danielle Collins to make the semifinals here. I think she played well here last year. You know, she loves these tournaments, kind of like an Isner. You know, she loves playing in the States. And I think she plays with enough edge in her game, you know. She believes in herself. She's a bit of a cocky player, I would say, to be honest with you.
But yeah, she's definitely not fearful.
No, and I think that's good. You know, that's why not, right? Like, I mean, if you can back it up, you know, just do whatever you want. But you got to keep winning. And Serena's a bit of a wild card for me. I mean, obviously Serena Williams, okay, win. But she did not look good at all in Indian Wells. So I got to figure out what's going on. And because of that, I mean, I wish her well. I hope she completely rebounds here. But I need to see it, right? Like, if she blows through the tournament, then we're going to say, okay, Serena, right? But she's won this tournament, I think, 10 times or whatever it is. But it's like, I don't think it's going to happen. And maybe Svitolina, she's been playing so well lately that maybe it's time for a bit of a letdown. And I think Danielle Collins, she played really well in Australia, been relatively quiet since. And that's why I think she's going to resurrect herself here. I'm not really into what I've seen from Halep, even though she's a, you know, a consummate professional. I think it's going to be a very tough year for her this year. Kazakina, again, hasn't been playing well. Another player we got to look for here is Goff, that young American girl who's been training at the Mouratoglou Academy. I mean, she signed that big, you know, New Balance deal, and she's coming in big. You know, they're calling her the next Serena. You know, so could it be her breakout, you know, tournament, kind of like Andreescu had last week? I don't think so. I don't think she's at that
level
yet.
She could lose first round, Nima. I mean, she's playing somebody. Everyone needs to look her up. Catherine McNally is on an absolute tear.
You know, actually, it's interesting that you say that, because I was going to ask you if you know who she is. And you do.
Yeah, so I know she is. Yeah. She's got a brother who's competed against a lot of my players.
Yeah.
And so I've been aware of her. She's obviously 2 or 3 years younger than him. He plays for Ohio State University, McNally. And their parent, the mom, is actually a very high-level, high-performance coach. And but Catherine seems like the one, you know, she sort of was always under the radar because John was such a big, you know, big-time guy in junior tennis, and she was just, you know, not sort of celebrated. And then just recently, she's been on a tear. She's literally winning almost everything she plays.
Mm-hmm.
So this wild card for her, she's not the Coco Gauff, you know, big name, big contract, big whatever. She literally earns this wild card, if that makes sense. She's there because they're like, gosh, this girl's been winning everything she plays. Like, we have to get her in here, mm-hmm. you know? So, you know, sometimes winning, you know, it's a habit. You can't even find ways to lose because you're just so used to finding ways to win. So that's where she is right now. So I think it'll be a very interesting first round match. And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if she wins a couple rounds here.
Okay. So who do you have coming through on this section?
You know, it's tough for me here. I understand what you're saying about Svitolina, but I think we're seeing a renaissance from her.
Yes.
And I think she's going to be the semifinalist in this section.
Okay.
I think she's good enough to beat certain players. I think she's lacking the absolute firepower at that very high end when she runs into later in the tournament and she's playing someone who's also in form. I think she just it's just too much. So I'm going to go with Svitolina into the semis here.
Okay. And so my final four is Sabalenka, Barty, Sloan, and Daniel Collins. I have Barty taking out Sabalenka. I have Sloan taking out Collins. And then I have Ash Barty as your 2019 Miami Open champion. How about yourself?
Amazing pick there. Yeah. Whoa. I've got Kerber against Petra Kvitova. I'm going to have Kerber going through there. And then I have on the bottom half, I've got Sloane Stephens versus Svitolina. And I'm going to have a nice blockbuster final there. Sloane Stephens versus Angelique Kerber. And I think it's going to be amazing. So I think it's going to be back-to-back amazing women's matches. I'm going to have Kerber holding the title here at the Miami Open.
And it would be very well deserved because, again, I really like what I saw from her last week, too. Even though she lost that match, you know, Andreescu, literally, Parsa, if you ever get to watch the playback or just, like, you know, they do, like, five-minute YouTube, you know, clips on it, she did exactly what she had to do to win that match because there was no other way to do it. Like, sometimes you just got a red line to get the job done, and that's exactly what she did, so that's why she got that. Otherwise, Kerber was for sure going to win that match. As we change gears to the men's side, Parsa, we have Novak Djokovic, who, you know, we all had penciled him in to win last week. And, I mean, he lost his second match to Philip Kohlschreiber, who had a great tournament, who beat Kyrgios and Djokovic, a couple other guys, before running out of steam against Monfils. Monfils ruined him before he had to withdraw. And it was interesting, Parsa, because the men's draw for me, again, some good matches last week. I think the Acapulco tournament was better, actually, than Indian Wells in terms of the men's side. But it was interesting because I had put up a post where, you know, Nadal had to withdraw, right, against that Fidel match in the semis that everybody's looking forward to. And then Monfils withdrew and all of the stuff. And on the men's side, we're seeing this issue where a lot of, you know, you still have Federer in the finals. Nadal was almost right there. You know what I mean? Djokovic, yeah, he lost early. And Murray has been sidelined. But, you know, you look at these top three, four guys, and they're still there, you know, after all of these years. And I think to a certain degree, it's great. To a certain degree, it's a detriment. Because you have a guy like Nadal, and in his last 21 hard court tournaments, he's either had to withdraw or retire, except for winning in Toronto. And so what happens is, you know, you have the U.S. Open, right? He plays Delpo, retired. All of these. So this is not really that great for the tournament, right? Because he's good enough that if his body is good, he's there for you and he's going to give you incredible tennis. He played amazing in Indian Wells before he had to withdraw, right? Like, I don't think he lost a set. He was smoking everybody. But then he withdrew and then, how's that good for the fans, right? You don't even see that match. Nothing happens. You have to get a couple legends to come play, you know, a match, and then it's the next day. So what happens here is that ultimately for me, I chalk this up to the young guys. They're not able to step up, you know, and like, it's great to see Nadal and Federer in the latter stages of the events because people know them. TV's happy. You know, the casual fans are happy. But as we're looking to develop the sport, how is this a good thing, Parsa, when you have a guy like Nadal, all of these tournaments on hard courts, and he can't finish the tournament, somewhere along the line he's going to retire, and then nothing happens. Whereas if you had a guy like TFO or Fritz that is in the semis, or even Khachanov, Khachanov wins that match against Nadal, that's not a bad match against Federer in the semis. He's a big, strong Russian, you know what I mean, he's a good player. But we can't see that because they're not good enough to get over that hump before this guy is retiring, right? Do you know, you hear what I'm saying? So I think for me...
Absolutely. Yeah, you've got an almost 38-year-old, you know, almost winning a championship. It's like, great, it's Federer, but it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
I was explaining to someone, you know, someone was asking me, you know, this is amazing, Federer. And I was like, well, I mean, to tell you the truth, it's a little bit embarrassing for the sport.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, you've got all these guys developed in one way, and then you've got Federer, who's got all this experience, who's like, I'm just going to play the antithesis of what you are, and you can't solve the riddle. It's crazy, exactly, because no one has the skill set to do it.
That's what I'm saying, man. You know, you know, I was at my buddy's house I was at my buddy's house on the weekend. We were watching the Leafs play. He's a big hockey guy, which I'm not, but I was just there to hang out with him, right? And he was asking me, like, you know, because he follows the major. He's a major Federer fan. You know what I mean? He wants Federer to, you know, be the all-time great with slams and everything. And he was asking me, he goes, you know what, man? Like, he's not super into tennis, but he's enough into tennis. He's a sports fan. He's not a tennis fan. And he's like, why hasn't anybody stepped up? Like, why are Djokovic, Nadal, and Federer still as good as they are? Yes, there's maybe three of the all-time best players ever. No question about it, okay? But like I said, Djokovic put him aside because he's still, I mean, he's won three majors in a row. Okay, he's where he is. But again, like you said, Federer's going to be 38 in August, and the guy is still like 3-4 in the world, 5 in the world, whatever he is, making the finals of Indian Wells. He just won Dubai. He's playing very well. Then he got Nadal in the semis, had to withdraw. Like, it's like, you know, these guys are still there. Like, what's going on? You know what I mean? Why can't any of these other guys step up? You know, like, yes, Felix is on the come up, I know. You know, you got Shapovalov, who's doing okay. But, you know, again, we have to grade things at the highest level, right? Like, obviously, these are amazing players. TFO is amazing, all of this stuff. But in the scheme of things, you know, where is he compared to Djokovic? Where is he compared to Federer? Where is he compared to Nadal? And if we're being completely honest, I think he's very far away from those guys, you know. But is Osaka very far away from Serena Williams? No. Is Andreescu's level of play right now, if she plays Serena, is it going to be that off? I would say no. I think she's going to hang with her. You know what I'm saying? I think she might even win that match right now. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's like, or against anybody, she beat all. Look who she's doing it. She beat Svitolina, all of this stuff. And so I think that on the guy's side, on the men's side, there's a long way to go still, because as much as we want to follow the greats, and we want to follow all of these compelling storylines and have these great champions, there has to be a little bit of a better effort from the rest of the guys, because otherwise it's like, what's gonna happen here? Djokovic is gonna win this tournament. Okay, so then what? Or it's going to be Federer Djokovic final. What happened to the other 96 guys, 94 guys? You know what I mean? It's like, so for me, there's at some point, and it's kind of going to be kind of sad if it's the only way that this is going to happen, is because Federer's 41 and Nadal's 35 and Djokovic is 34. Like, for me, I hope it happens a little bit before that, to be quite honest. So
I agree.
Yeah.
I
mean, so moving.
You know, there's a lack there.
Yeah. For sure, man. And, you know, as we get now into this draw, we have Joker as the top seed. He's got, I mean, I would like to see him. I mean, he's going to have to play either Burdich or Tomic in his first match. I think that's going to be, you know, relatively competitive, but he gets through. We have Fognini, who was his doubles partner last week in Indian Wells. They're having a great time. A lot of cool points there. And then we got Isner, who is the defending champion here. And I think this is where, Parsa, you're going to start to see, you know, the decline of John Isner finally, you know, with his age and all of these points that he has to defend. I think he's going to have a tough go of it here. And I think that for me, it's going to be, you know, Djokovic all the way to the semis. What do you have?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Djokovic, although, have you shared, Nima, what you said, you know, off air about Djokovic, and I think it's very important that you know, that it's set.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So what I was saying, Parsa, what we were talking about before we got on air for everybody, is that for me, that, and this is a great, this is my X factor point here, that for Djokovic, for me right now, Parsa, he's at this point, and thanks for reminding me, man, because I completely forgot. But yeah. Djokovic for me is kind of like the Golden State Warriors. You know, he's won all these championships. You kind of know that he's got at least another one or two majors in the bag this year. But he's got to go through the Miamis and the Monte Carlos and the Indian Wellses and, you know, Rome and all these other tournaments. And it's like, okay, obviously he wants to win. He's a competitor. But he's been there, done that many times. Like, how many times has he won Miami? 5 times? You know what I mean? He's won every single Masters 1000. He's won every Grand Slam. He has a positive head-to-head record against all of his main rivals. The only thing that he hasn't done is win the Olympic gold, right? He's won the Tour Finals as well 5 or 6 times, and he's been number one on countless occasions. So it's kind of like, great, staying there, all of this stuff, more money, great. Okay, great, who cares? He's got all of this stuff. But it's the majors, and he wants to catch Federer. So he's 5 away and the Olympic gold. If he gets to 21 majors, Federer stays at 20, and he gets the Olympic gold, he is without question the greatest player ever. Nobody can even hold a candle to that. You're done, right? But the thing is, and he still might become the greatest player ever, but it's like getting the out there 35 degrees. Realistically, if he loses, you know, to, let's say he loses to Batista Agut in the fourth round, what happens? Not really anything, because then if he wins the French, nobody's going to care. Or if he wins Wimbledon, that's really what matters at this stage. So, and I think he knows that. And it's kind of like the Golden State Warriors, right? They're not really crushing it, like going for like a 72-10 season, you know? They're good with like, you know, like a 62-20, you know what I mean? Or like a 60-22, 24, whatever. And it's, they're good with that because they're, you know, heavily favored to win their third championship in a row. That's kind of, to me, where the Djokovic comparison comes into play. And that's why he might lose here, but he's definitely favored to win. And that's what we kind of have to go with.
So, yeah, so I just thought, well said, and needed to be shared. But, yeah, I'm going with Djokovic as well. That being said, I think, you know, last week is probably like, all right, I didn't have enough, you know, intensity or enough, you know, fight in there. And so I think he's going to make sure to bring it a little bit, and I think it's going to pay off for him. So semis for Djokovic here.
And you know what? It was interesting, Parsa, because there was another thing that that he said. He had like one of those Instagram live videos, and he said that what he learned from his loss to Kohlschreiber, and he goes, it's not to say that I would have won, but I know why I lost. So it was a very politically correct answer that he gave. But he said that I have recently let a lot of outside distractions, you know, like maybe, you know, sponsorship stuff and, you know, all of the other things that he had, because he has a lot of, you know, things on his time that he has to deal with, take me out of my routine that really, you know, centers me and focuses me for these big events. So he goes, but, you know, I'm going to have that back and ready for Miami. So if that's the case, then, you know, watch out. But we'll see. I mean, anything is possible. And, you know, the clay is coming up, and that's a long 6 weeks and a lot of tournaments there. In Europe, so we'll see how that goes down. But I mean, Parsa, how about Dominic Thiem, eh? Winning the biggest title of his career, pardon me, you know, smashing through Federer 7-5 in the third. He completely deserved it. We'll get to Fed in a minute, but I look at this quarter, I see Thiem, I see Fuchsowicz, who for me, Parsa, is a guy, I don't know how much you follow this guy, but what an athlete this guy is, the Hungarian. I mean, the guy is just ripped. Like, if you look, you know, like when you build one of those tennis players in one of those video games, and, you know, he's one of those guys. He's just like a solid, you know, muscular, tall, everything. Like, he's got the maybe one of the best tennis bodies you'll ever see. And it's like, watch, and there's no reason. I mean, I remember watching him in the juniors years ago at the U.S. Open, but I mean, it's no surprise to me that he's 29 seed here, and he's completely going up. And I think he's going to be one of those guys who's going to be top 25 easily for many years to come. We have Basilashvili, who's I encourage people to look, check out his the new article they wrote about him at the ATP, where he was basically sleeping in a car for 1 month straight when he's playing futures and stuff like that. And now he's, you know, 17 seed here in Miami, which is great. We have Monfils, who's been playing really well, but he had to withdraw in Indian Wells after, you know, an Achilles injury. So for me, those the reservations are still there for him because he's always injured. I mean, he plays lights out, but something always creeps up for him. Čorić, I'll get to that in a second. I think he's going to do really well. We got Simon, we got Kyrgios, and we got Nishikori. And Nishikori, again, had to pull the ripcord after getting injured. So I think, losing early in Indian Wells. Kyrgios playing well, too, from Acapulco. But I think when I look at this quarter, I'm going with Borna Čorić to make the semifinals. How about yourself?
Yeah, very good. I think it's a great pick. You know, I'm going to continue with the theme. I'm going to go with the theme of team. And
really?
You know, I really do think so. Because if there's one guy who can, you know, is used to playing every week on tour, it's this guy.
Yes.
And I think he's just going to be on cloud nine. I think he's going to have a new found belief now in himself. And, you know, I should say that correctly, because in coaching and a lot of, you know, it's important in anything in life or on the tennis court or whatever it is, you always have to believe in yourself before the result happens. However, when the result does happen because of results of the belief that you had in yourself, it now solidifies and you believe that you can repeat it. And so now I think that's what's going to happen with Theme. He's going to be there and he's going to now believe that he can come back. He's going to believe that he deserves to win this title versus believing he thinks he can win the title. And I think there are two very important distinctions. And so that's why we always celebrate somebody's big, you know, big title or big maiden title. And it's because of that reason, because you can get that opportunity to now to build on something great. And I think that's what Team has done. And I think I'm going to have Team, not think, I'm going to have Team here in the semifinal.
Yeah. And you know, for those of you who read my, my predictions for year end 2019 top 10, I actually have Team finishing three. And there's a reason for that, because I really feel that he keeps plugging away. You know what I mean? I don't know if parts of you on Instagram, there was this great video. He was staying at the hotel nearby there, and it was before the match, and he's out there just grinding. I think it was Nicolas Massu, who's one of his new coaches, who's a former Chilean player, and he's just, you know, standing on the same side of the net, right? He's got the basket there and he's just throwing him balls, and he's just running around and smashing the ball, you know? And this is like 20-30 minutes before the match. This guy doesn't get tired, man. Like, whenever you ever seen Dominic Thiem get tired? The guy is just an animal, right? Like, and he's built this up. He deserves to be this fit because he's put in countless hours, ultra-professional guy. And because hard courts are so slow these days, why not do well, right? And he's proven that by, you know, winning Indian Wells and you know, almost taking Nadal out at the U.S. Open last year. Let's not forget that match where it was like, you know, 2:30 in the morning, 5 sets, 7-6 in the fifth. It was an incredible match. He very nearly won that. So this is not really a surprise to me at this point. Moving on to quarter number three, we've got Kevin Anderson, who I think is finally trying to get back after some injuries. We have Steve Johnson, who hasn't been playing that well lately. Dimitrov, who again had to withdraw from Indian Wells with a shoulder injury. Wouldn't put too much stock in him. Khachanov, who's been playing good. Medvedev, who's going to be actually my pick to make the semis. Schwartzman, Wawrinka, who's coming back. And then Fed, who made the finals of Indian Wells, going to probably play well here and will probably play Wawrinka again in the third round. But I'm going to go with everything that I've seen here with Medvedev going into the semifinals. How about yourself?
Daniil Medvedev. I mean,
yes.
I had him last week. I was, you know, not very happy with what he did.
Yes.
You know, I think it's a tough section here. Obviously, it's the highlight is going to be the whole Federer and Wawrinka again. You know, I think there's quite a bit. You know, that can happen. You know, but for me, this is, you know, something where I really do strongly believe that. Am I in the right section, Nima?
Yes. You got the Anderson, Johnson, Dimitrov, Khachanov, Medvedev, Federer section. Yeah.
So, you know, I have trouble with this one, you know, because you kind of don't know what Federer is ever going to do, but you know that he's going to beat a boatload of people. You know, I'm embarrassed, but I'm going to pick Federer. and I'm embarrassed because I think he's the greatest problem solver right now on tour. You know, besides Djokovic, I think Federer compared to the ranking number four and below, I don't think anyone's better. And I think that's posing a problem. And I don't know if these guys can get past him. They have to blow through him. And they're just not able to do it. So for that reason, I've got Federer here in the semis.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we're watching, you know, for those of you who watched, let's look at the last few tournaments for Federer, significant, right? He loses in five sets to Kevin Anderson at Wimbledon. He loses in four sets to John Millman in, you know, the sweltering heat in New York, where it was like an oven. He lost in four sets to Tsitsipas at the Australian. He won Dubai, a lot of three-setters there. He lost in three sets to Thiem, again in the finals. And this is where he's, again, still good enough, and he's a fit guy, and he's not injury-prone like Nadal on hard courts. He can get to the finals, but he's just, I think because of age, he can't get over that hump anymore. And I think that's why the longer you can keep him out there, the better your chances are of victory. Just because, I mean, you know, nobody can beat age, right? And I think that's kind of what I'm seeing. Because even if you go back last year, even Kokkinakis beat him here. Delpo beat him in Indian Wells. Again, three setters. And I think that's the kind of the pattern that we're seeing with Fed, right? And he's got to finish you off quick. And if he can get you in two sets, then he's basically on. I mean, first sets are very important to him. If you notice, he doesn't lose the first set too often nowadays. And I think that's another reason why he's been able to go deep in tournaments. He starts really quick, and he usually gets that first set. If he loses the first set, I think the chances of him winning, you know, out of 10 matches is maybe three or four. But if he wins the first set, the chances of him winning matches, maybe eight, which is a major, you know, that's like 80%, consider 40%, right? That's just my opinion. But I think, like I said, Medvedev, for me, started the season so strong. And I think if he can mentally put it together, he's just such a loose, talented guy that, again, kind of like a Daniel Collins, he really doesn't care about anything. Like, he's just out there to do his thing. And I think for that reason, he can make the final four here. As we move to our fourth and final section, we have Tsitsipas, we got Shapovalov, Cilic, Cicinato, Goffin, Tiafoe, and Zverev. And I think, based on all of this, I know he lost early to Felix last week, but I'm going with Tsitsipas to make the semis here. I think he's got what it takes. And realistically speaking, I think Zverev is still getting over a cold. He hasn't been able to give what he wants to give. TFO, for me, has been slumping since Australia. Goffin is not playing that well. Cicinato is not really a hardcourter. Cilic is a crapshoot. Shapovalov maybe, but again, I don't think he's really doing what I would like him to do. So for that reason, I'm going with Tsitsipas to make the final four. What do you have?
Yeah, I am too. You know, I definitely have Tsitsipas there. I think he's, you know, I think he's just going to play off the energy, and I think he's going to love it. But I have a question for you. Where is Felix? Why is he? How is he? It's a crime that this guy's not given a wild card right now.
You know, it's very interesting that you said that, because tons of people on Twitter said that. And I think it's a bit of a joke, to be honest. They're really tough with their wild cards here, man. Because I think IMG owns the tournament, right? So they get a lot of precedent over who they let in. Like, they let in Osaka's sister, for instance. I know that's on the women's side, but she's like 300 and something in the world or whatever she is. And the thing is that, yeah, I mean, Felix definitely, based on what he's done, but he won his first qualifying match. He's playing today, if the rain goes away. So we'll see how he makes
up. Qualified Nima, what did you think of his play? Because I have a very strong opinion on what I saw.
On him, like generally, what do I see when his game?
Like, not in general, but I would say what did you see in the growth in Indian Wells?
You know what, man? Like, you know, from a few years back, I remember when I watched him at the U.S. Open, and I was looking at this kid, and it's like he moves so good. You know what I mean? He's such a balanced. Balance is such a key thing in sport. You know, like, Parsa, I'm sure, you know, you've been through the gamut of coaching from little kids to tour players to, you know, university guys and girls. And, you know, same with me to a certain degree. And it's like, you know, you see kids when they hit shots and they'll hit a ball and then they'll take three or four extra steps and go off the court. And it's, I don't think he's ever done something like that. He's just one of those guys where he hits, boom, on a dime, next ball. And it's like such a, you know, disciplined mover, and he hugs the ground so well, kind of like Djokovic. And to be honest with you, I think even better than Djokovic. I'm not saying he's going to be better than Djokovic. What I'm saying is I think that he even moves a little bit better than him. He's just such a clean mover on the court. And I think his growth has been amazing. I think that he's really starting to believe in himself. And I mean, the way he took Tsitsipas apart, that was scary stuff, man. I mean, Tsitsipas is coming in with some seriously good form. He's very mentally tough right now, and he completely took him to the woodshed. I mean, he beat him in like...
The reason I ask him is because what I saw in the match that he ended up losing was something I haven't seen from a young player on the ATP World Tour maybe since Djokovic was coming up. So you want to talk top five? I'm gonna say right now, I think this guy's gonna be top five in the world, solely because of what I saw in that third set in the match that he lost.
Yeah, to Nishioka.
Because he literally just overcooks some inside ins. You could see the transition happening. He's down 5-1. He wins that game somehow, and you see the guy positive, pumping his fist. You could feel through the TV screen that he was going to come back. How do you know that? And you know that because of body language. You know that because of attitude. You know that because of the ability to hone the game in. Where he made his error was just a young person's error. When he got ahead a little bit, he got excited and overcooked some shots. So he's going to learn how to. And when he got a little bit behind, he was taking big cuts at the ball with a lot of spin, and that's when he was very successful from behind. So he just needed to watch that video again and be like, oh, you know, I lost control of my emotion a little bit when I got ahead and I got excited. I just have to temper it back. This is normal growth, but he's 18. You know, he's going to be a bona fide superstar by the time he's 20 years old. I would put it right there, right now. This guy has got huge upside, all because of body language, because of attitude at a young age. And he's already, hopefully his coaching is good, I'm sure he is, you know, he's going to be going through these modes of understanding the tactics, understanding momentum, which is probably what him and his coach are working on right this moment, if they're doing the right things. And this guy is going to be real special, man, very, very soon. He needs to go through these ups and downs a little bit more. He needs to build his body out a little bit more. But man, this guy is the real deal.
So there's two things here. The first one is that, you know, I remember going to Nike headquarters back in 2015. This was a long time. It was like 4 years ago, right? And they were all over this guy. They're like, you know what? You're really lucky because you're going to see this guy's going to bring you, you know, your country a lot of Grand Slams for years to come. And this is when the guy was 14. You know what I'm saying? So they've been touting this guy for many, many years. And another thing, Parsa, I want to mention is that, you know, when he made the finals in Rio in February, they asked him, they said, you know, so what are your thoughts on this week and playing this match? He goes, listen, you know what? Win or lose tomorrow, this is before he lost to Jerry in the finals. He goes, I don't want to be remembered for making the finals of Rio. That's not what I'm here for. I want to win this tournament. But I don't want to be just, I just don't want to win this tournament. You know what I mean? I want to have an amazing career. That's what I'm looking for. And, you know, when you look at his attitude and you look at Shapovalov's attitude, the guy's super competitive, and then look at Andreescu, I mean, Canada's got three players that I think are going to, and I mean, what are they, like 18, 18, and 19? That's a joke. And they're all like, you know, Shapovalov is, you know, top 25 in the world. Andreescu is 24 in the world, and Felix is like 56. And I mean, it's just with no points to defend for the rest of the year, you know, he's getting tons and tons of wild cards, and he's going to be everywhere. Everybody was going to want to see him every tournament. It's Canadian tennis in a good spot, needless to say. And I'm not a really patriotic type of guy. I'm just saying that from the sense of just quality of players, you got three players there that are going to be, I think, at the top of the game for many years to come. And I think from what I'm seeing, I mean, Shapovalov, I think he needs a little bit more discipline in his ground game because he goes for so much. I think Felix definitely has more of that. But obviously, Dennis's wild card is that he can hit winners from anywhere on the court, and he's a lefty. So that's a big thing for me to see how they got, and they're great friends. I mean, they sleep over at each other's houses and stuff. I think that it's gonna be funny when they're playing big tournament finals against each other to see how that goes.
I think Dennis is gonna have a longer learning curve. His game isn't as refined; he's a little bit more wild.
Of course, yeah, exactly.
You know, and I think his strokes are a little bit big, and because of that, it's going to take him a little bit longer to find the range, to be consistent, and then, again, to understand the momentum shifts, to understand when to press, when to go for the big shots, when to hold back a little bit more, when to chip a little bit more, when to attack the net. Right now, he sort of just flies by the seat of his pants.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, but Felix wasn't like that. Felix was actually thinking. That's what I was so impressed about. He was actually understood what needed to happen. He was like, ooh, I know what to do, I know what to do. Let me hit the, this is a great ball, man, boom. And he just smashes the ball out of bounds. You know, I think that excitement will subside. You know, that's what I saw. I saw a guy who all of a sudden, who maybe wasn't identifying things at a high level, you know, on the highest of levels.
Mm-hmm.
And in that match, the solution came to him very, very clearly. And now it just comes down to execution and repeating. So, and the variables are always going to change. So, but he's got the right mindset. If you can do it once, you can do it again. So that's what I saw there. Where Dennis, I see him win matches because he literally blasts people off the court and just hits great shots and is very aggressive and it's very one dimensional. But what happens to the guy who can defend this stuff? He loses right now, you know.
Exactly. So, all the time, yeah.
All the time. So yeah. So that's going to be a longer learning curve. I would expect. I would say Dennis is about at least a minimum of 3-4 years away from finding his best level.
Yeah. Okay, Parsa, so as we conclude this week's show, I got Djokovic, Chorich, Medvedev, Tsitsipas as my final four. I have I have Djokovic taking out Chorich. I have Medvedev taking out Tsitsipas. And then I have Djokovic winning the title. What do you have?
Yeah, I've got Djokovic and Dominic Thiem. I've got a huge match going on there, but I'm going to have Djokovic winning and getting through into the final. And I've got Federer against, did I even pick my, Tsitsipas. And I think it's going to be Tsitsipas going through there. And I think we're going to have a Joker Tsitsipas final. I think it's going to be entertaining. But I'm going to have a Joker 7-5 in the third. Holding the title, making sure everyone knows who's number one.
Yeah. I mean, again, if it doesn't happen, we talked about why we don't think it's going to happen because of the Golden State Warriors comparison, but it's going to be interesting. I mean, there's a long season in Europe coming up on the clay and the grass, so this is the last significant American event before we head back here in the summertime to get ready for the U.S. Open, so it'll be interesting. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm just looking forward to the tournament because it's, with the new stadium and everything, I hope everybody goes and embraces it in the area. And, you know, it's busy and it's, you know, can give Indian Wells some competition because we know how well that tournament has been doing. With that said, Parson and I will be back in a few weeks' time to conclude the events here and then get ready for the clay court season. So I want to say thank you, Parsa, for your time this week. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody out there, for listening. Make sure to follow Parsa on Instagram as well as Twitter. You can follow myself. You can follow Parsa, obviously, at Parsa Sam. You can follow myself on Mars on Instagram as well as Tennis Connected on Twitter and Instagram too. You can download this podcast on iTunes as well as Android. And you can follow us on tennisconnected.com for all of your daily updates and reviews for this event.